You're listening to the Multifamily Innovation Show with Patrick Antrim, your source for innovative strategies for multifamily professionals, CEOs, executive leaders, and aspiring leaders that want to drive high-performance results for their property or portfolio.
North Texas has recently weathered a severe hailstorm. Now, this lasted over 6 days with nearly every county impacted. Now, the National Weather Service in Fort Worth logged a significant 249 hail reports from June 10th to June 15th. Now, these hailstones range from 2.5 inches to an enormous 5 inches across most all counties. Widespread damage was reported. And in addition to the hail, severe storms brought the threat of isolated tornadoes, damaging winds, and the intensity of these let in through the week. Now, this threat persisted not only with turbulent weather, but also really the importance of people being unprepared. Welcome back to the Multifamily Innovation Podcast. Today, we have a very special guest with us, Mark Ness. He'll show us how to protect our property investments during these severe weather extremes. Now, Mark was raised in central Iowa. He developed an early affinity for construction, working his way up through lumber yards, starting his own construction company, and he did this all while in college. His entrepreneurial spirit and passion for buildings was just the beginning of a remarkable journey in property insurance claims and the construction industry. This is a wonderful collision. That's why he's on the show today. This journey spanned over 2 decades for his career. His expertise, though, is in construction. He honed this through not only practical experience, he found new directions in his career, and he joined one of the top 5 insurance carriers in the country. So you can imagine the construction experience, the investment experience, and then also now insurance. Mark really has an understanding of the ins and outs of property insurance, not only the insurance, but the claims. Something not a lot of people, in fact, I don't know anybody in the industry that can speak to it with this type of experience. Mark then went on to oversee operations for a commercial roofing company, and it was there when he witnessed firsthand the hurdles that multifamily and commercial real estate investors often stumble upon in the investments and the asset management strategies as they pursue acquisitions. Now, observing all of this, Mark identified a gap. Now, this was a need for a service that could guide investors and property managers through an often rocky terrain of storm damage. And so, WeatherShield was born. This is a company helping clients navigate the stormy seas of storm damage, ensuring that they avoid the costly mistakes and safeguard their investments as they go out their portfolio. Stay tuned as we delve into the experience on how to stay ahead of the game and make smart investment decisions. Mark, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you, Patrick. How are you doing?
It's great to have you back. You and I had a conversation on another strategic matter we were talking about around due diligence, and this hailstorm came through, and this is a top of mind for a lot of owners and operators. Sometimes we're not as prepared as we need to be. A lot of questions. And so I'm bringing you on to go through that and hopefully deliver some value and open up your database of depth of contractors and experience and experts and knowledge to help people minimize any risk. And there's a lot of stuff going on right now. So I'd love to just open up and talk about just the general overview of what severe storm damage looks like, because in many cases, we have people that oversee properties, asset managers, property maintenance technicians, and sometimes damage gets dismissed in many cases that could cost you millions in some aspects, right? And so let us know, what is really storm damage and what does it look like?
Yeah, I think it's important to have that foundational knowledge going into any site of storm assessment. So I think what most people see is what they see on the news is these catastrophic tornadoes and hurricanes are definitely ones that catch a lot of attention on the media, but what probably doesn't get as much attention, and I would say is more far reaching to almost everyone here, would be just your standard wind and hail claims. Those fall into that severe category simply by the amount of damage quantifiably that it does. It does a lot of damage every single year that costs financially as a devaluation to your assets. So when we go into that, I think when most people say, oh, we had our maintenance guy look at it, everything's okay, it's these hidden things that you don't see right away or potential leak sources that aren't going to show themselves immediately, which just talks to the importance of how you need to have somebody that's trained in storm damage assessments do an evaluation of the property following one of these events. Knowledge of the event happening is great, but actually having some on-site evaluation done by a professional that understands what to look for is really important. I thought it was interesting you brought up that it was a series of days in a row, I think from the 10th to the 15th here in June, where Texas saw just back-to-back storms with pretty record-setting. This is large hail, maybe not anything unique to Texas. It's known for its large hail. Everything's bigger in Texas, but what's funny is it actually went longer than that. So I think the news article is probably written that many days in it, but it was 10 consecutive days of a severe weather event that hit Texas. So from the 10th to the 19th, every single day had some sort of massive, large, severe storm event. So it just tells you the scale of what these things can do and how it's the time of year too. That's the other thing you have to consider is this is the time of year when storms are passing through, and being aware of what to look for and be monitoring these events is really important as an investor.
Let's talk about the damage that can come through this. You mentioned earlier about the hidden things that the trained eye can discover. And a lot of times these property managers are busy doing many things, right? And you mentioned potential leaks. What type of things can surface that otherwise could be missed?
So I think probably the biggest thing that most people are aware of, the common person that doesn't have a background in either construction or storm damage assessments, would really be what things can I see from the ground looking up on the building? When they're severe enough and you have certain types of materials such as vinyl siding, you're going to see holes when it's severe enough. You're going to see cracks. You'll see damage to windows when glass is broken. These are some of the more severe large hail events. What you don't always see is when you have more resilient construction materials like a brick exterior, you're not going to see from the ground what the roof looks like. In wind events and hurricane events, missing shingles are things that are indicative of storm damage. But when you're talking about a hail event, such as we've seen in Texas here, the large hail will cause damage, but typically it doesn't cause any immediate cause for a leak or an issue. So what I think most of what I've seen in multifamily is the maintenance staff and professionals that are on site really respond to events. They respond to report of a leak. They respond to maintenance needs, but they're not proactively looking at what are some potential sources of leaks that could happen next year or whatever. So by assessing them early on, you now bring in the opportunity to deal with it in a proactive manner rather than a reactive one. So I think for the most part, the hidden pieces are the ones where I may have something that's an issue caused by a storm event, but maybe a section of gutter that was knocked loose isn't going to cause any immediate point of water intrusion, but eventually that's going to leak inside the property, cause some mold damage, water damage to the walls. And maybe we're not going to see that as an investor until that tenant moves out. And at that point, how much other damage has it done?
Let's talk a little bit more about those vulnerabilities. Where are those points in the building that we need to be aware of?
Yeah, I think the biggest concern for me when I stress it to either owners of property or property management staff is water can cause a lot of damage. And what we don't typically see is just this constant, intense leak that is just pouring water down inside of a unit inside the building. And we don't really see that. We see drips. We see saturated insulation in attic spaces. We see drywall issues with staining, but it's the persistence of it and the long-term effects where you start to see mold and mildew. And once that gets into a building and is circulated enough, it can cause some severe damage and some health concerns. So I really look for anything where water can be a point of entry. So is it a hole in a piece of siding, even a crack can cause some damage. Dislodged sections of gutters and downspouts tend to direct water in ways that we don't intend it to by design. And then missing vents on your roofs from either holes in them from hail or missing from wind, those things are going to cause leaks that maybe they don't immediately show. But man, if you had the opportunity to go back and say, if I could have dealt with that first week when it happened, absolutely, I'd rather do that than spend thousands of dollars to try to remediate all the damage that's occurred since.
Yeah, let's talk about those roofs more. You mentioned the like a windstorm coming through, ripping off the vent, and then you have the water that comes in and fully two different experiences. And you can't see those from the ground. What are the impacts to the roofs, windows, siding, things like that, that we need to be aware of?
I think the one that most likely everybody's aware of, that you have a property that has a certain value, retains that. And after a storm event happens, you may see the functional way that the building works in terms of really what a roof does is divert water to a certain place to get it away from the building. You may still see similar functions out of the property. So it's not going to be this immediate awareness of damage, but it's the impacts. So a large hailstorm will actually cause a bruising effect on a asphalt shingle, which is a very common roofing material, most multifamily that I've seen. That may not cause that immediate damage, but as water erodes away at that area, now shingles have an opening where water can get in behind it, causing damage to your roof decking materials, so the plywood or an OSB sheathing. As that deteriorates over time, now you have additional damage and it has to be replaced, where you got not only mold and mildew, but you have rot. So those things that are completely preventable when addressed and corrected immediately. But I think outside the financial side of the loss to your property, since I bought it, it's worth a certain amount. I expect that I can put some money into it, eventually get a return on my investment. Now you might be faced with a situation where you go to sell a property, you're unaware of storm damage, and now they're saying it's worth less because all the roofs are shot from hail and all the siding needs to be replaced for the same reason. And if you were just aware of that when you had the chance, you now open up the opportunity to file an insurance claim on potentially. It's really about awareness, knowledge, and the ability to make some really sound, smart decisions at the time that these things happen.
Yeah, and it sounds like another conversation we've had where you're advising those acquisition teams finding properties that have potential found money in them where damage has occurred. You can go in there, leverage the insurance scenario to get some capital improvements accomplished without spending capital improvement dollars, at least of your own. And
as an investor, it does work both ways. It's still about knowledge and awareness, and man, your options open up on things that you can do. So I'll preach it till the day I die. It's about being proactive in these matters rather than reactive. And that's, I think, smart business in any industry that you're in, just being aware of the things that you have options to do and how you take advantage of that knowledge.
So those of the people listening now, maybe they've experienced this come through. What do they do next? Is this something where they can call you and you support them? Consulting, what would they do if they call their insurance company? Do they call their contractor? Contractors are all over the place when these events happen, right?
Yeah.
What do you advise?
I think having a really sound risk preparedness plan in place for any investor's smart decision. So a lot of our current clients, that's how we're involved as part of their asset management strategy. So we're monitoring these storm events. And when we have a situation that arises where certain areas hit with their property, we see indicators of storm damage and we alert them to that. So before they may even know, we're talking sometimes minutes after the event happens, we can make communications out to them and just make them aware if something happened within the last few hours, we think it hits the threshold, something would make sense for us to have an inspector look at. And then we move forward with that assessment. As far as for when we don't have current clients that have a similar situation, we'll go back and evaluate if there's an immediate need because we have a known event that happened very recently. We can absolutely go out and take a look at that just simply by somebody reaching out and advising, here's what we have. We'd like to see if you can help us out with that. We can start those discussions around what makes sense in terms of, is a long-term plan to take us on as a client? Is a one-off situation? They just want us help with one individual property. What I found in this business is that every investor and property management company is set up slightly different, has various different needs. So we've found a way to customize and tailor what our services are to meet those needs in almost every situation. But the reality is, it's like anything else. When you don't have the expertise, you need to go seek out the experts. And that's where we fill the void. In a situation, I'll just give an example. If it is somebody that has a property or an asset in Texas right now, especially around the Dallas area, if you've been faced with storm damage of some degree, you're unsure of how bad it is, there's just persistent contractors knocking at the door, wanting to get your business. And maybe there's a level of trust that you don't have there just yet. We can come out and do an independent evaluation. We don't necessarily need to have, we fill a void that's different than a contractor or more of a consultant company. That's where I think we bring a little bit more, I don't want to say credibility, but a level of expertise, not driven solely by the desire to gain financially from a specific job. We build partnerships with our clients, and it's about being a value to them more than it is as getting any work out of it. I would say if there's somebody that has like immediate need, please reach out. You can reach me through my email address. We can give out the end of here. I will be right now directly from our website. You can reach out even by phone. So whatever makes the most sense for that situation. But what I'll stress is the urgency around, don't let it sit. Have somebody do an immediate assessment on it. If there's a need to maybe have some of your roofs dried in where there's not, if there is missing shingles or very large holes and damage like that, we want to make sure that we cover those sections temporarily, at least to keep water from coming. So there's some immediate things I think that need to be done. But then you can take a step back, evaluate the damage, understand as the team, what should we be doing with this particular asset? Does it make sense to move forward with the repair? Should we explore an option of filing an insurance claim? Those are things we can help with in giving a value to what we see the loss is at. And our experience is helpful because we can give you what we think an insurance settlement will come back most likely as. Not necessarily, here's how much it's going to cost to replace your roof on a retail price. We'll say, if I was an insurance adjuster, I would write it for this and this. So we can give you some knowledge around that too that helps guide the decision-making around pursuing a claim. Because the constant out here is how much is my deductible? And what's it going to cost me to file a claim? And we can help with that decision as well.
Yeah, let's switch gears a little bit into insurance, because obviously that's the obvious question around these events. And I like the way that you just mentioned how you support partnerships with these customers. I imagine owners are talking with you because, and then you have the third party managers that have a responsibility to report these things. I imagine you're making their management company more valuable with providing that type of service. But to the owner, it's also more certainty because they're the ultimate ones that's going to pay the loss here in a situation that they're not getting the right intel or the right data. They may miss on opportunities. Let's go into insurance and talk about what is appropriate coverage for these types of things and how are you seeing people navigate through this?
Yeah. What I will say, the one constant is that there's usually not a lot of variance in coverages when it comes to storm events. It's one of those losses, especially in a state like Texas, as since we're talking about it, it is wind and hail country. And most policies are going to be written to cover that. Where it comes into play is changes around limits, deductible amounts. Obviously, the higher the deductible, the more affordable the premium is on the policy. But that doesn't always work into your favor. If you set a deductible so high that you can never file an insurance claim, then what's that insurance policy actually worth? So what I see around insurance, especially in multifamily, is that there's such a trend right now with cost being the issue. My insurance costs are through the roof as a business. What can I do to lower that? There's certain things you can do, but what you should really be looking at is when do I actually plan to use insurance? And understanding that decision, how bad of a loss do I need to have financially before I say, I want insurance to cover this? That's the conversation you should be having with your agent around what is my deductible amount ideally on a situation? Like what loss am I willing to accept before I need somebody else come in and cover the rest of it? I do see a lot of miscommunication and just misunderstanding around insurance. The biggest fear out there is, if I file an insurance claim, I'm going to be dropped. My insurance carrier is going to drop. The other one I see is
what is the answer to that? We can't make predictions about those. Right. Things, but like what?
I mean, there's a lot of factors that go into why an insurance policy is canceled. What I can say is that an insurance claim alone, due to a wind and hail event, is considered what they call an act of God or act of nature. It cannot be negatively counted against you in terms of. That's not the basis for canceling a policy. There could be a series of things that, in addition to that, could lead up to it. And for whatever reason, any insurance carrier can non-renew a policy at the end of the term, but simply using the insurance is not a basis to cancel. So I think what people see most likely in correlation, not necessarily causation, is that because an event or a series of events like we're seeing here in Texas has happened, a certain market takes such a hit that all the policies in that area have to see a premium increase for those insurance carriers to remain profitable. They're seeing such high losses that they're just not going to remain profitable at that certain premium rate. So they have to recover that. And what we see as consumers is, oh, because I filed a claim, this is what's happening. I actually have an interesting situation right now where one of my clients who I'm representing on many claims in a certain market on multiple assets has already received a notice of premium increase before they've seen the settlement on their insurance claims, which tells you that's exactly why. If they wouldn't have filed their claim and just said, no, I'm going to pass on this one, they would have seen that same increase. So what that tells me is that absolutely had nothing to do with them filing a claim because they haven't seen any money out of it yet, but they're already being told they're going to see a premium increase. So, you know, that's one misconception, is that I shouldn't use my insurance because I will see a premium increase. That's just not true. That, including other factors, yes. Having an event happen in an area is most likely the driving cause of it, rather than you as an individual consumer filing a claim on this policy.
That's great. And this question, when do you plan to use insurance, not knowing that going in and making the assumption that we're just not going to file in this event because we're seeing costs go up and we don't want to contribute to that. And then in reality, you're getting the increase regardless.
Yeah.
The market.
I mean, the other side of this is that by delaying the conversation around how much damage do we have, what should we do about it, you actually limit some of the options you have with your insurance, because more and more, most of the carriers are going to a shorter and shorter timeline that you have to file a claim after an event happens. And then associated with that claim, there's a limited amount of time you have to do any repairs to receive the full policy benefits, such as replacement cost coverage, meaning paying at the market rate for these repairs. And people, investors specifically, is if they delay this, or they have, let's just say 10 communities in one area that was hit, that's a lot of work to be done. And that's a lot of claims to be handling if you're going that route. If you wait and you only have a year to file it, you wait till 9 months in and you're cutting it close. And then are you limiting your amount of time you have to get the work completed and then also receive the full policy benefits? Most of these claims, if anybody's handled one, which I'm sure most of the people listening have, they aren't like your homeowner's claims. They don't happen in a week or 2 weeks. It's months of timing, inspections, evaluations. Part of what we do and add value, I feel, is that an insurance claim settlement will come in and we'll look at the estimate scope of work and say, nope, they missed this, and we'll get it right. And the difference between somebody's home where we missed one thing on one building is you compound that times the number of buildings and the size of the buildings. One little error can make a very large difference financially. So it's important to be very detailed, very accurate, and we'll catch an error. And I've not had a claim we've worked on that I haven't caught some sort of error just in the human aspect of writing an estimate. It's better to have an extra set of eyes than just one.
Yeah. These could be six-figure errors, right?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah. Let's talk about really what to do post an event like this happens. If you haven't been proactive, maybe they don't have a response plan in place or what have you, but what are you doing first?
Yeah, I think one thing to think about that's different in a storm event situation versus just your standard, capital improvement projects, is that we're very used to that process of let me get three bids and let me evaluate from there. In a situation where we have severe storm damage and even an idea of insurance is going to be considered, you need to take a different approach as an investor, because you need to understand how bad the damage is first. And just like anything else, I encourage that investors or homeowners or wherever we're working with, that they get an advocate of their own to give that assessment and don't rely on the insurance company's experts and their adjusters to do that for you. Get your independent assessment. Much like going to court, you don't want to go to court without a lawyer. you want to have somebody that has your best interest in mind and give you that evaluation. So I think first step is always going to be have an evaluation, have an assessment. It's a brief one. You may look at a sampling of the buildings to get an idea of the overall damage that we're seeing. Not overly detailed, but enough.
Is this stuff you do? Is that something, a service you guys do?
Yeah.
What does that feel like? Like right now, people are evaluating these things from images, emailed, and maybe third-party data. So tell me, what does that look like if the first step is getting this assessment? They give you a call, and then what happens?
Typically, in our situation, we have a storm monitoring service that we offer. And part of that is when we see an event that would happen, I'll use last night as an example. Baton Rouge had a very just sporadic storm that kind of came up out of nowhere with three and a half inch hail, I think, that was hit in an area. In an area that has some multifamily properties as well. So it's a lot of student housing being in Baton Rouge there. And within an hour, we had notifications out to the maintenance staff on site and the investors letting them know what happened. So that's step one. Step two is now we have a plan to do an initial assessment. So we're in the process of scheduling with them that we're going to be coming out. We're going to coordinate an evaluation. I want to say there's somewhere around 50 to 60 buildings on site. We're probably going to look at a sampling of that. We're going to, throughout the different parts of the community, it's a pretty large one. So we'll look at different corners to make sure the whole property was affected the same way. We'll just look for indications of damage that we think is bad enough that something has to be done. If we get out there, we'll see pretty minor things. We'll give that assessment an interim report. So what we'll do at the end of it is produce a report that you can share internally with your team that has photos, documentation around causation, severity. We'll give that on demand. Sometimes not everybody wants this, but we'll give an assessment of a range of prices that we'll value it to the loss to be. And this is really to help guide the decision-making around what the next steps are. So until you've done an evaluation as an investor, I don't think you can really make that assessment. I've seen a lot of clients that we have that will jump into a claim and then notify us. And I'm almost like, pump the brakes, just a second. Let's take a really close look at it first. Really, we can come in and help at any point, even if the claim's already been filed, or maybe you've received an initial assessment you don't think is accurate. We've come in a lot of times and done an evaluation after the fact and said, well, here's how bad it is. And we'll help the supplementing process and start it from there. So we can really add value at any point in time. But like I was preaching before, proactive is best. If we can be there at the beginning of it, we can really bring the most value.
Yeah. And I think that first step is important because a lot of times we just get right into the repair, right? I think if you're going to the doctor, it's like you just go right into surgery. It's like, wait, let's get the MRI first. Let's figure out what's going on. Is it crucial to work with specific contractors after an assessment like this, or is it unique?
I think it's unique to each investor, either owner of the multifamily or if it's third party managed. It really depends on your level of comfort and trust. If you're a investor that has a very lock in a certain market, and you probably have really good contractor relationships and, you know, your experts, everybody's got it figured out. If you're spread out across the country, you may not have that same level of confidence and trust. And the one thing I would say is that not every contractor is built the same. A lot of them are very talented, very good at doing more, but assessing damage from storms is different than putting new shingles on the roof. And so where we bridge the gap is we look at it through the same lens as a contractor would, as well as what an adjuster. And we can see both sides of it. So although you may think this looks like damage, I can tell you it's actually not storm damage. It has the appearance of it. It's something else. And that's what an adjuster would actually look at in the insurance perspective. Whereas a contractor, we can look at it through that lens and say, although this is damaged, we also know that the way this is built, the scope of work has to reflect these nine other things to be done correctly per code. So we bridge the two worlds together and really help things along as an independent outside of that, or more of a consulting company. But it really does come down to each individual investor. It makes sense for them. It can't ever hurt to have somebody look at it that doesn't have a direct financial interest in either paying a claim or gaining some work out of it. So I think that's, again, where we come in, is we don't necessarily have a financial benefit just in the assessment aspect of it. So we're not swayed one way or the other.
And, you know, I would add another third element is the investor component, because like you just mentioned, the alignment and even some cases, the bias around some of these things. Somebody is a contractor trying to get you the lowest price competitive bid to get the job, may miss something that later on a disposition could cost you if somebody's hired you to go into that deal.
Yeah, and excellent. You bring up an excellent point that it is. That goes back to, I think, the mindset of capital improvement projects. We look to bid at the lowest price possible to get the most we can out of that dollar. But when it comes to insurance work, it's not the same approach, is that it doesn't benefit you in any sort of way to drive the price down to the absolute lowest cost. It benefits the insurance company, but what you end up getting is probably, it's like anything else, you pay for what you get. And if you're paying the lowest dollar price out there, are you really getting the best service? And so I always try to relate things back to people are familiar with. You have an accident with your car and you have the option to take it to a really high priced body shop that does excellent work. You've seen it. Or this guy that's really cheap, does it in his spare time, is not quite as good, doesn't have all the best tools. It'll come out looking pretty good, but maybe there's some issues underneath that's hidden and things like that. If you're paying the same deductible, which one do you want? And you probably want the better service, the one that you can really trust, the one that offers the better warranty, all that type of things. So if you're paying for the insurance to have either option, why would you not go for the best value?
Let's go into a hypothetical, I guess, here. You're a property owner, multifamily. This event just came through on two levels. What are you doing after this event? First, secondly, what are you doing on the insurance conversation? In debriefing all that we've talked about today, that's happened. You have to take care of the real estate. You have to take care of the investor. You have the financial piece, the insurance piece, you know, all that.
Yeah.
What are you doing with those two areas?
Yeah. So one thing that most investors are probably running into if they've had a claim is that there is a requirement in the policy, insurance policy, that you as the owner have a duty to mitigate. So if there is something wrong with the property, it is your responsibility to make sure you address it in a way that can be, takes care of the issue. So if it's a missing shingle or section roof, that needs to be covered up to prevent any further damage. Otherwise, the insurance company may not cover any resulting damage from that. So one, you have to be aware of it in order to take any action. So step one is to have property assessed for storm damage. There's lots of ways to do it. There's new technology that's being used all the time. Drones are a great thing anymore to do a widespread, broad brush approach of an analysis, but nothing will ever beat getting up on a roof to do an assessment, see how bad damage is. Assess some conditions such as what's the decking condition, just little things like that you'll never see from a drone. But having that assessment done first then empowers you to say, all right, knowing what I know now about how bad it is, I can decide, is it something we're comfortable to take care of as a repair and just moving on with business? Or do we now need to address some temporary repairs and pursue an insurance? That's a very strong possibility of some of these really severe things. So having the knowledge to do that allows you then to go to the next step and start alerting your insurance company. But by having the assessment done and doing the temporary repairs, you're already set up for success because the insurance company is going to come in and know that the mitigation's done. There's no risk for interior water leaks. You get an inspection set up with the insurance adjuster. A company like us would come out then as the next step and be part of that evaluation process and the inspection process, making sure that we're documenting and showing everything that we found in our evaluation to that claim adjuster so that nothing's missed. It's much easier to address it up front during the first inspection than it is to come back later and say, you missed these things, you missed these things, because most people don't like to hear the things they do wrong.
Mm-hmm. Pursuing an insurance claim, as you mentioned, I'd love to do a follow-up episode with you on that. Maybe we can bring in some experts along with you on that one. That would be
absolutely
fun. I know there'll be more questions that you have as listeners. One of the things I would encourage you to do is if you are hearing my voice today and you've experienced this or you want to be proactive and just even the little nuggets around compliance and minimizing the ability to process future claims by having proactive measures in place, reach out to Mark. He's a wealth of knowledge. And again, the reason why I brought him on is, number one, he's a client of ours here. We work together on stuff within the industry, on thought leadership and all these things. But the reality is, having somebody that has the construction background, the insurance background, the financial investment background, and being deep into the weeds of real deals of things, case studies of projects where millions of dollars were found or saved, it's worth a call. It would be interesting to see that when you're seeing the expert economy come to play here, you have people that do many things and you don't get coverage over the real true value of a partnership. And when you see a company focusing on one thing and doing it well, that's a fascinating thing. So, Mark, I appreciate what you're doing for our listeners. Listen, if you want to keep this conversation going, follow us on social media. We're going to be on LinkedIn, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, wherever you reach out on social media. Give us a mention or shoot me a message. I'd love to hear your questions. Maybe we can structure some good follow-up conversations with Mark and his team. But we will be pursuing a little bit more around pursuing insurance claims and all that goes into that. And we'll bring in some experts. Mark can take us through that as well. So if you've enjoyed this episode, please subscribe, rate, review, give us a tag on LinkedIn so we can amplify that and know that you're watching. That helps us do a great job and also helps others discover the value of the guests that we bring on here today. So with that, we'll see you guys on the next thing.
Thank you for listening. We hope you enjoyed the Multifamily Innovation Show. For show notes and other resources, visit multifamilyinnovation.com.